Greetings and welcome once again to another episode of STL Soccer Talk, brought to you by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLToday.com. I am, as I continue to be, and will always be, Tom Timmerman, Post-Dispatch, and I'm joined by the irrepressible Beth O'Malley.
Well, thank you.
Have you been repressed?
I don't.
See, since I'm irrepressible. You're irrepressible.
But I'm not. I have not always been Beth O'Malley.
Well, this is.
I assumed my husband's name when we got married. Yeah. So
it was a big assumption, and
it was a big. Actually, I had to think about it for a little bit. But we're not here to talk about maiden names.
No, we're not.
No.
We scratch that off the list of potential.
Oh, darn.
podcast topics.
We would have gone into a sidebar less than a minute into the podcast, and I think that would have been a new record.
It would have been a record.
But we're here today because it's the off season.
Because we hadn't done one in a week or 2 weeks, however you want to count
and things
it. We
have
skipped
happened.
A week. Yes, it is. Hey, and so we felt obliged to. We didn't mean feel obliged. We felt the
called.
Because we like to talk.
We do.
Pretty much what it comes down to. And nature abhors a vacuum, and so do we.
So should we probably start with the signings. Your dog.
I was going to say, which way do we want to...
Let's go with the signings. We'll go in reverse chronological order.
We'll go with the acquisitions.
Yes.
And we're technically not a signing because...
It was a trade.
It was a trade. So, the first trade... This is really, they're not, you know, City has made trades before, but they always have been for money. You know, they've been for GAM trades. But here's an actual player for two-player trade. And it's, you know, depending how you felt about John Nelson and John Bell, one guy who played a lot early on and then vanished, and one guy that didn't play much at all. But finally, a player who saw a lot of playing time and became a loved member, I think, of the St. Louis City, now your team, Jared Stroud, along with Lucas Bartlett, traded to DC United for Chris Durkin, who's a defensive midfielder. It addresses a position of need for the team. The defensive mid, they had Jabulo Blom and really nobody else. If you look, I mean, the guys they, you know, Indiana Vasilev or Edu Leuven, I mean, they plugged in guys there in the course of the season, but they didn't really have another guy who's, this was his job description, was defensive midfielder.
Right.
And we saw that, you know, Blum had a kind of an up and down season, and kind of to be expected. I mean, he came in a bit late, missed the start of training camp, and then had injuries or sicknesses or international call-ups throughout, and so was not always there. And that could happen again. Blom was named this morning to the 50-player provisional roster for South Africa's team for the Africa Cup of Nations.
Oh, congratulations, Tom.
So they eventually have to choose 23
right.
from that list of 50. So, if all things aside, it would be a toss-up as to whether he goes or not. But if he does go, he would miss the entirety of training camp, or at least the first month, because camp for the South Africans starts like January 3rd or 4th or something.
Right.
Slightly before City's camp begins. So, and then depending how long they went in the tournament, and South Africa's, you know, within the confines of Africa, they're one of the better teams. Right now they haven't been, you know, they've struggled a bit during this process. As I now pay way more attention to South African soccer than I ever did before. But
And the Africa Cup, is it this year a World Cup decision tournament?
The World Cup qualifying for Africa is a separate thing. This is This is like the CONCACAF Gold Cup or the UEFA Europa, you know, whatever year you insert. This is the Continental Championship.
Gotcha.
Played in Cote d'Ivoire or Ivory Coast, depending. It's funny.
We've discussed Ivory Coast
before. So anyway, so they got Chris Durkin, and I can't tell you that I've seen 20 DC United games and can give you the Bible on Chris Dorkin. But
when I looked at the stats, defensive stats, because mm-hmm. you wrote that he was a defensive midfielder, mm-hmm. He looked like he was a pretty good defender on their team.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't face DC this year, as I asked you earlier, and you, you confirmed my suspicion.
Yes, he did not play DC United this year. And I mean he's better than the alternative, which was zero. So, but he is a young guy and an experienced guy. I mean he'll be 24 when the season begins, and he's got what 6 years of. Yeah, I mean, he signed when he was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He played 2.5 seasons in Belgium, it's like 6 seasons or so in MLS. There were some seasons he was on the books but didn't get in games.
He's been on national teams.
He's been on youth national teams
right.
at almost every level. He was on some U23 team that didn't qualify for the Olympics.
And because of that experience, he knows one of the coaches.
Well, he played under John Hackworth at the U-17 World Cup. And that was a U-17 team that also had Indiana Vasilev and Akil Watts on it. So they've now got three of the, I don't know if it was 21 guys on that team or 23 guys on that team, but they're slowly stockpiling players from that team. Now, that team also included Josh Sargent and Serginho Dest, two U.S. national team regulars. So I don't know what the next step on this team, but he obviously is someone Hackworth is very familiar with,
mm-hmm.
And that both Vasilev and Watts have played with before. So, but yeah, I mean he's been obviously been in the league for a while at a young age, and so he'll bring that experience to the team while still being a young guy. He is what is known in the business as a U22 initiative player.
And what does that mean?
So Major League Soccer has got a complex set of rules and regulations for player signings.
Yes.
And one of them is the U22 initiative, which was designed to keep young players in America.
Okay.
Rather than jumping for big money overseas in Europe or Mexico or South America.
Big money, big fame.
And that their MLS teams could try to match that money by paying them. It's like a designated player, essentially, for a kid. And so if you were under 22 when you signed the contract, they can pay you basically whatever you want, but it only counts $200,000 against the salary cap.
Oh, okay.
So Dorkin is making about $500,000, I think it's $480,000.
I thought that's something along the line.
But he's only $200,000 against the books.
Okay.
So City still has to pay him that $300,000, but it doesn't affect their salary cap.
We can dedicate like an entire 2-hour episode to MLS roster and salary cap rules.
This came up during Commissioner Garber's State of the MLS talk the day before the MLS Cup, and the question, it was Jonathan Tannenwald from Philadelphia who asked him, said, is there any movement afoot to simplify these rules because it's so massively complicated? And Garber said, well, each of these rules has a reason, something we're trying to do. And so once we have kind of achieved that goal and it's taken care of, then we don't need the rule anymore. And believe me, we'd like to get rid of, because the league office has got to track all these things and do a lot of math. But
I'd love to see the spreadsheet for that.
But they're still at the point where they need to convince teams to invest money heavily in younger players, and so the U22 initiative still exists. So this is the first U22 player. So each team has three U22 slots,
right?
Much like you have three designated player spots. And so this is one of City's three U22 initiative contracts because they
But it's their first
it.
One.
But it's their first one they've
okay.
had and the only one they have. And that's the first time. I mean, they have two designated players, so they have one spot there, and they have two U-22 initiative spots.
And they have a newly acquired international spot.
They do have a newly acquired international spot, which they don't have a player for right now, but it sounds like...
It raises the question of why would you need an international spot if you didn't have your eye on an international player?
Yes, and it's and I get the feeling that that may happen, you know, soon. And
I keep waiting for your phone, not to ding, but to be like, something's going on.
It hasn't yet.
We better hurry up.
Yeah. But each team gets eight for starters, and City has eight guys, and they will eventually, you know, if you want to have more than eight, which they did this year, they had 10 mm-hmm. this year, but they don't have, but then two of those were Isak Jensen and Silver Pedro, who don't count against the books right now because they've gone back to Europe on loan. But last year was Fanciel telling me that even if you don't have a player for that spot, it's a commodity that has value because you can now get a player that has one,
mm-hmm.
or eventually another team somewhere is going to need one, and you've got one and can trade it to them for money. And
the almost literal chips on the table that
yeah.
are moving around.
Nashville, who they got this spot from, had a extravaganza, bonanza, something that ends in an anza, a word that I'm looking for. They traded five international spots yesterday. Two to NYCFC, two to Charlotte, and then one to City. They pulled in like $825,000 of GAM, general allocation money, on Wednesday
mm-hmm.
by dealing. So they apparently are not envisioning having a lot of international players on this year's roster, but City now does. And, considering the port in the season where they are and the roster ability, I think that in short order we will see someone going into that spot. Free agency is open. There are players available now, and trade window is open. So
mm-hmm.
that could happen, probably. Depending on when you listen to this, it may well have happened.
Happened already. I'm going to do my best to get this up by the end of the afternoon.
Well, it might not have happened by then. So
there we go.
There we go. So Chris Durkin coming in, again, experienced guy. It should be help for the team. But in doing that, we say goodbye to Jared Stroud and Lucas Bartlett.
To Scary Jerry, I think.
Scary Jerry, as he was called by some of his teammates, because he was a very pleasant guy off the field, and then on the field he got incredibly intense and was a force to be reckoned with, as they say. A New Jersey guy, originally, and kind of, played like a guy you would think from the, from the suburbs of New Jersey, but a great guy, and obviously will have a spot in the history of this team's first season.
Yes.
Scored the second goal, a very pivotal goal in that game, got them tied. St. Louis's Kip Keller just passed him the ball and came in, but he had five shotted five goals and five assists, which put him high on the list. I think it might have been fourth in combined goals and assists and goals created, as they call that. So that was a big, once you got past the big offensive players of Klaus, Jokini, and Adeniran,
mm-hmm.
he was, there with five goals.
Mm-hmm.
And he was right up there in the thick of everything.
And that's one of the things about last year's roster. I guess now we have to refer to last year's roster.
Yes, yeah.
That it seemed pretty deep with goal scorers. You had people scoring goals who weren't usually scoring goals for other teams, defenders and even fullbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see if the new roster is going to keep that up.
And it was also a position where there was one position on the team where they had a lot of guys. That was it. I mean, if you consider that, Thorsen, in the playoff games, didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the games, he wasn't even on the roster. They didn't have room for him. And he was like, the big transfer signing they had last summer. So they couldn't, there was not room to fit him in. And so, obviously, they want to fit him in.
Mm-hmm.
They think he is going to be one of those guys. And so, to do that, they had to clear space. And if they were going to get a guy like Durkin, you're going to have to give up something.
Yes.
And so, amid that collection of attacking midfielders they had, they, and what DC United wanted, And Stroud is, you know, an older player. I think he's 27.
Those were quote marks.
Air quotes there. 27. So he's older than some of the other guys, and so, you know, what is his next contract going to look like? He's going into the last year of his contract.
Mm-hmm. But he's also experienced, so he has, it goes both ways.
Yeah. It's a weird situation, though. He's experienced, but, you know, the year before this in Austin didn't play much at all.
Wasn't protected.
But I think as Jared Stroud looks back, you know, on this experience this year, it's revitalized his career. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had hit a brick wall at Austin, and he said, you know, it was like a lost year for me. I mean, it was, you know, you only have so many years in your career, and that one was just gone. I mean, that one, he did nothing. He played like 40 minutes for Austin. I mean, they traded him to DC. They agreed to trade him to City in like August or July.
Okay.
I mean, so by mid-season, they knew, even though they couldn't have announced the trade, but they knew they were going to get rid of him. And so at that point, it was like, well, we don't need to play him at this point. But they hadn't played him before. And I've said this before. I mean, I remember being in the press box at Austin on that, you know, the first game, and people saying, like, you know, how good can this team be? It's starting Jared Stroud, you know, a guy that, you know, didn't play at all.
And then he proceeded to score.
Proceeded to score a goal and scored many goals. So
when a player gets traded, do you as the reporter try to contact that player, or do you give them space?
It depends on the situation. I know.
Okay.
I know Jared had said he was going to be in England visiting relatives. You know, and I don't know if he's actually there right now, but he had like a summer of travel.
Right.
And so, like, okay.
A winter of travel.
Yeah. An off season of travel. I'm used to sports where the summer is when you're off, but this was the winter of travel. We'll get a hold of cross paths. And Lucas Bartlett, Lucas was a nice guy. I remember when they...
On a team of nice guys.
On a team of nice guys. And remember, I mean, when they brought him in, he was a trialist. They were going to see if, you know, how did he work. And he immediately fit in with this team when he was in Florida in training camp. And even though he wasn't under contract, when you're a trialist, you get paid a per diem, essentially, to be there to see if you can win a spot mm-hmm. on the team. And it took him a while before they signed it. And I'm not sure of all the, you know, the rules and regulations, mumbo jumbo that went into that. But they didn't sign him until closer to when the season began. But it was clear they were going to do it because he fit in so well. But he was a guy that would, you know, I think I interviewed him maybe twice mm-hmm. during the season, but I probably talked to him as much as anybody on the team because mm-hmm. he would just come over before or after practice when I'd be standing around and come over and chat, and we'd, you know, we would just talk about whatever, and he was just always, you know, very, you know, happy about, you know, seeing everybody. He was a good guy. He was just a genial, outgoing guy. Played a lot, played more than anyone would have expected.
Right.
I mean, when he was signed, I think the expectation was he's going to be a backup center back, and he's going to play a lot with City 2. And the first half of the season, he played a lot. You know, especially once Hebert moved to left back, he became the regular, and he was playing ahead of Josh Yarrow at center back alongside Tim Parker on a regular basis. I
mean, and then
everybody got healthy, and in one of his games with City 2, he only played two games with City 2, but in one of them he hurt his shoulder, mm-hmm. and that kept him out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's another guy whose career was restarted. I mean, he was the sixth pick overall out of college by Dallas, and he spent a season with Dallas where he didn't play at all. And then, you know, they let him go at the end of the season, and he came to St. Louis on a trial basis and won a spot on the team, and
now
got
he's being
into
traded.
The lineup, and now he's been traded. You know, DC hasn't made the playoffs the last four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of their coach and their sporting director. Wayne Rooney was the coach, kind of left on his own, but changes were coming, and they're kind of cleaning house
there
and redoing the roster,
right?
And so, you know, they're making trades, and so, And so that has sent Chris Durkin to St. Louis, and will send Jared Stroud and Lucas Bartlett to D.C., where, you know, they may well, I think they'll have every chance in the world to play and contribute there. I mean, especially Stroud, who, after he showed what he could do this year. So this was
a bittersweet, but maybe a positive for those players. I when I think about professional athletes, this is one of the things that I think I would have trouble not taking personally. Oh, mm-hmm. They didn't want me type of idea.
Yeah.
But for these players, it might almost be a positive. Hey, my career is on the up and up. I'm moving mm-hmm. around, and this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though. I'm not a...
Yeah. It's funny. I know some kid who at Halloween went trick-or-treating and was and actually went to knocked on Jared Stroud's door. Just you know, but now he is always like, you know, like knew where Jared Stroud lived, but now won't be able to take advantage of that anymore because Jared will be relocating.
Was he dressed up for Halloween as Jared Stroud?
No, he had a soccer motif to his outfit, and,
gotcha.
And I think it was actually Jared's girlfriend who opened the door and said, "You know who lives here?" and then the kid's mother said, "No, you can't take advantage of knowing. You know, you can't go, you know, bragging to your friends. I know where Jared Stroud lives, or you can't go over there and say, hey, you want to play soccer? You know,
it's like that'd be hilarious though." But yeah, that poor kid will no longer be able to boast to his friends.
To go to his buddy, my buddy Jared Stroud. Though I wouldn't be surprised if you could knock on Jared's door at 4 p.m. and say, "Hey, you want to kick the ball around?" Jared's like, "Sure." Anyway, this puts Stroud will be closer to his family. He's from New Jersey,
on the East Coast,
and he'll see his brother who's also in the league. With the Red Bulls.
They'll play more often then.
They'll play twice a year, and they'll live, you know, a couple hundred miles apart.
Silver linings.
Yes, right there. It'd be longer for Lucas Bartlett, who's from Kansas City. But that's the first trade. Mm-hmm. It's over his real trade. And the first time you've had someone with, you know, who I think the community has developed really deep feelings.
Right. I mean, the fans really picked up and embraced a lot of the players on an individual level.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, maybe more than they would in other years, given that this is the first year.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see a whole lot of angst over these moves in the mm-hmm. usual places. So I could have missed it, but mm-hmm. I didn't see a lot.
You know, on the list of who did people buy jerseys of,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm sure there are someone out there that has, you know, a Jared Stroud
for sure
jersey, but he's not Klaus Leuven
or Parker.
You see Vasilevs around, you know, as I walk in. So yeah, but anyway, but I'm with Jared, and just on a purely selfish note, Jared was a very good quote. He was a very good interview. he was a good guy to talk to. He had opinions and.
Mm-hmm.
I only wanted to have him as a guest on the podcast, and it never...
Late.
I know, yeah.
It's too late.
Get him on the phone from
D.C. Well, that is
an
interesting thing, because some people are not good interviews, athletes mm-hmm. or general or non-athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You want people who can speak thoughtfully about various things and give mm-hmm. you good quotes without sounding like they're giving you good quotes, which is... Mm-hmm. I know that sounds like a strange thing, but
mm-hmm.
you know it when you hear it. And you know it when readers know it when they read it as well.
Yeah, and it's not always the best players on the team.
Right.
Word. I mean, you say. I mean, because this happens on the Blues beat, where people will say, "How come no one talked to Jordan Kyrou after what he did in that game?" You know, and it's because he's not a good quote. Because what you get from him is, I mean, he and some people just aren't talkative, and he just, you know, he gives you one sentence, and that's it.
Well, and there's an art in asking the question, and some reporters don't have that art either, and they mm-hmm. ask a yes or no question,
mm-hmm.
and Kyrou would just answer it
mm-hmm.
and then stop.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd say yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you'd all sit there for a moment, because I used to edit the video from the press conferences, and the reporters would kind of wait. And then someone else would just go ahead and ask a question.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. You want someone who's going to elaborate on their answer.
Yeah.
But there's more news. On the soccer beat.
Yes, there is.
Not on the hockey beat.
No, no. The hockey beat.
Nope.
Plenty of news.
We're not going
plenty
there.
Plenty of news on the hockey beat. but on the on the soccer beat. So Wednesday. Yes, we recorded this on Thursday. Wednesday was the draw for the CONCACAF Champions Cup, in which is the championship of club soccer in this region, North and Central America, and the Caribbean, and a little bit of South Africa.
It's the Champions League that no one.
Yeah.
Well, that suddenly St. Louisans care about.
It suddenly, yeah. And there are, you know, you qualify by winning MLS Cup or winning the U.S. Open Cup, winning the League's Cup, being the best team in the Caribbean, being the best team in Central America. And then City got in because the among the automatic qualifiers, or there are, everyone's an automatic qualifier in a sense, but the Supporters' Shield winner goes in, so Cincinnati went in. But then also then the team that had the best record in the other conference
goes in,
and that was St. Louis City. And, you know, and it is, it's so it's international competition.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, there are, I think, I don't know, there's 10 different countries involved, Canada, Mexico, United States, Panama, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Jamaica, Dominican Republic, Guatemala?
I can't remember.
I think Guatemala's
because
in there.
It can change because the winner of, there's two like sub-regional championships, and the winners of those can change, and therefore the countries involved can change. I think we can safely say, however, that, as you pointed out, we're not even going to change time zones.
Yes. And actually, when my advance, when I wrote the day before the draw, I said, so that, you know, there could be some exotic trips to Mexico that would be involved. Or, is it, or it could be very anticlimactic if they played Houston. And it turned out that's who they're playing. And so it's like, wow, you know, so, you know, you look at it and, you know, Cincinnati's going to Dominican Republic and New England's going to Panama and, and St. Louis City is going to play in Houston.
Which at least is warmer.
It is.
I mean, it should be warmer than St. Louis at that time of year.
One would expect, yes.
You never know.
But there will be a game in St. Louis. And,
yes.
And we should know today, as early as today, the schedule. So it's quite possible that, as I say, we don't know right now what the schedule is, that you, though, may... we may know that by now. Or you may know that by the time you hear it. But
the first game's in St. Louis.
The first game is in St. Louis. Second game will be in Houston.
Yeah.
And they've set aside the 4 weeks in February for the first round, for the first two games. But it'll be a midweek game, so it'll be either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They're certainly not going to do it the first week of February. There's no reason to rush that game to be, you know, have the teams do it after 3 weeks of training camp and when it's still freezing cold. I think everyone who's listening to this either lives in St. Louis or has lived in St. Louis and knows that the whole month of February really is a lousy month.
We've already agreed February is the worst. But late February has a slight
your odds obviously
chance.
Improve the later you get.
Right.
So it's either going to be the second or the third week in February that they play this game. I would think that they would try to do it the third week in February and then have the return match in Houston be the fourth week in February. The only reason you wouldn't do that is if, depending on when they schedule the MLS opener,
which they
the regular season,
released yet.
Which they will release next Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
So the only thing would be if, when that game is and do you need to... You know, you don't want to play a game on Wednesday and then have another Saturday game that early in the year. So,
and is it the first couple of rounds are home and away?
Yes, every round except the final
is home
and away.
Thank
you. The home final round is a one game, one shot for all the marbles.
And it's the fun thing where they take aggregate goals.
It is aggregate goals, and so the first game will be here in St. Louis, and if it ends 3-0. All it means is it's in effect halftime, and you're up 3-0.
Yes.
And it means then you then can hunker down for the thing, in the next game and turn it into a dull slog. And then I believe road goals is the tiebreaker.
If they count double or something like that. Yeah. And then if it's still tied, then it goes to penalty kicks with no overtime.
Yeah.
I think is what I read.
Right.
This is why I was telling Tom before we started, I have to write things down, like people's names, or else I get to the point where I'm like, is it Jared Stroud or is it Jerry Stroud? Where I know the name, but my brain doesn't like me.
Brains are risky.
They're real tricky risky. Things. Very tricky.
So they got Houston. Now, on the bright side, I mean, so yes, it's not an exotic trip. They are not. And when I say exotic, I mean, it didn't have to be, you know, Suriname to be exotic. but you know, Mexican, I think going to Mexico, playing, you know, Chivas in Monterrey or playing Club America in Azteca would be certainly exotic and very different.
An experience that some MLS players may never get.
Yeah, and it would be a big deal.
Yes.
But they're getting to a place that they played before. They played twice. Now, based on last regular season, where they played Houston twice, if that were, in fact, the play, they had qualified, they had moved on because they played them twice.
Well,
and
why even play the first round? Let's go on.
So they beat them 3-0 at City Park, and then they tied 1-1 in Houston. So that would have been a 4-1 on aggregate. And they move on. Now, it should be said that Houston played really well at the end of the season. They finished really good, and they're seen as one of those MLS teams on the ascent. They're doing really well.
And City, on the other hand, is at the opposite side of that coin.
Did not finish really well.
Right.
So you can't really look too much at last season. Well, I mean, City beat them 3-0.
That's a pretty good scoreline.
So, and if they win, whoever wins that then goes to play Columbus.
Which could go either way. That's a short turnaround from, what was it, last weekend?
Yes, it was. Last Saturday.
Early March, mid-March.
It would be the first 2 weeks in March where they would play those games.
That's a pretty quick turnaround for...
They're going to have 4 off weeks before they hit training camp.
Yeah.
And get going for this.
So let's hope the hangover lasts for a while.
Yeah. Columbus, because they have a first round bye, could say we're going to start training. City is moving up the start of its training camp from last year by 3 or 4 days.
Columbus
doesn't have to do that. Right. They could say we're going to push it back 4 days because they... You know,
everything.
They don't play until the last week of February or the first week of March, depending how the schedule comes out. But it's funny. Then I think Columbus, as I believe, is even closer to St. Louis than Houston is.
Yes, it is. Even closer because Houston would be past Dallas and Dallas.
Yeah, Houston's like 600 miles away. It's still a drivable distance. Columbus is like five.
I think.
It's like a 6-hour drive?
No, it's like five.
Five?
You can do it in five.
Okay. No.
Put the pedal to the metal. I can do it in five.
Yeah,
in your
Maserati, you can get there probably.
Yes, because I drive a Maserati.
All right. that was another choice I didn't make.
If they win the first round, it's another exotic climb of mid-Ohio.
Yeah, yeah. And then if they got to the next round, they might have to... You know, get the passports out of the drawer and go.
Tom is saying they, but he means I.
at that point, I think Tigres is the team in that portion of the bracket that they might
the dangerous one.
And Orlando is also though in that. I think that's those are the two seeds I believe in that group. Anyway, but it's a big deal still. I mean, it's.
It's basically international play in the early second year of an inaugural team.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, to qualify after their first season is essentially unprecedented. I think Seattle may have done something similar. The challenge for this tournament, though, is, and this is what always plagues MLS teams in this tournament, is that because of so many of the other teams in this region. Countries in this region are on more standard international schedules, where they start in the fall and then they finish in the spring, and so they have to play it at you have to find a portion of the season where there's an overlap.
Right.
And so it goes between January or February and June. And so it has to get crammed into there. And so MLS teams are always coming in on when they haven't played before.
Right.
This will be, I mean, City's first game of the season is going to be in the CONCACAF Champions Cup against Houston. They will play preseason games before that, but they will not have played a game that counts prior to this.
The advantage is they're playing another team who is in the same boat, and they're not playing a team that's at midseason form.
Yes, they are. And that would have been one of the risks if you got one of the Mexican clubs, which is already playing, and so that would be a challenge for you. And so that is one way, something that works for you in this, in that someone's in the same boat.
I always try to find the silver linings,
yes.
You know?
Well,
try not to be too much of a downer.
So, and say, the reason City is in the situation they're in, that they got another MLS team, is because they're new.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ranking system that CONCACAF uses is based on results over the past five seasons. But City's only played for one season, so mm-hmm. they have not been able to accumulate the points in the system that other clubs have. There are only three MLS clubs that were worse in the CONCACAF rankings than City was, and that was Toronto, crappy team. Can I say crappy? Is crappy
you can
acceptable?
Say that. It's fine.
Toronto, Austin, mm-hmm. expansion team,
mm-hmm.
and who's the other?
Don't ask
crappy
me.
As another, Colorado, I think, was okay. the other team.
Yeah.
So two really bad teams in recent years, and a team that is much similar to City has only been around a short period of time.
Right.
So, and so had City been a little better, you know, existed a little longer, they would have amassed more points. They might have been in that first group,
right,
in which they would have gotten one of the more exotic locations. They might have gotten Suriname.
Let's call it fun locations. Yeah.
And though I should say, I was looking at the numbers yesterday. I mean, the miles some of these teams have to cover in the first round.
To go home and away.
I mean, you know, Suriname is in South America. I mean, it is on the South American continent. Now, and, you know, and you say, why is a country that is in South America?
Because CONCACAF.
In CONCACAF. Because, when in doubt, because
CONCACAF. This is a good enough as a reason as any.
But there are three places in South America, Suriname, Guyana, or Guinea, and French Guyana.
Or
Guyana and French Guinea. I flipped them.
Which I don't know about Suriname, frankly, but the other two are both, one was French and the other one's British, right? A colony.
Yes, well...
Or am I completely wrong?
French Guinea is still a territory
of
France.
Okay.
But they get to have their own team. Guyana and Suriname are independent countries.
Well, yes. I'm sorry, I was speaking historically.
Historically, Suriname is Dutch, actually. So so those three small little kind of an enclave there on the north shore...
Of non-Portuguese / Spanish.
Yeah. Those were the other places, and it's under weird rules that French Guinea gets to field a team even though it's part of France.
Well, and I was reading the CONCACAF Wikipedia article to prepare for
mm-hmm.
the draw, because that's what I do, mm-hmm. and I saw that Quebec is trying to join as well.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
Well,
but CONCACAF has got these little places. It's got...
tiny little islands.
Guadeloupe.
Yes.
And it's got, Bermuda fields its own. These things that aren't really countries, but are territories, but they still, the British Virgin Islands are in there. And it's weird, they compete in CONCACAF competitions, but they don't compete in FIFA competitions.
Yeah, there were a number of nations that were not FIFA members.
But the one exception to that is Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh.
Which, even though it's a territory or maybe a commonwealth of the United States,
I don't remember what the
still plays fields its own team.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about that?
Yes.
And this, and I believe I'm speaking to those of you taking notes. But in Puerto Rico, you can play for a country if you have that country's passport.
Right.
So,
Puerto Rico has its
Puerto Rico doesn't have its own passport.
Okay.
Puerto Rico uses American passports.
That's
so to be eligible to play for Puerto Rico, you know, I'm eligible to play for Puerto Rico because you need to have just an American passport.
This might be my in.
This is,
says the non-soccer player.
It's, you know, and this came up once where there was a Puerto Rican player strike over money, and they said, like, you know, talk about being easily replaceable. Right. And they went out and got guys who, like, lived in New York, you know, and who, you know, were eligible for the team.
Did the same qualifying, I mean, like the, where once you commit, you can't change rules apply?
I believe they would. And so they found guys who weren't going to play for the U.S. national team who said, like, okay.
Who could play for
And they went down, and that was the only game in World Cup qualifying, I believe, that Puerto Rico has ever won. Was a game in which they brought in effect, ringers to play.
So CONCACAF Champions League is coming up.
It is. Well, that's what we were talking
about.
Thank you, Beth, for reminding me.
You're welcome. It's not a problem. That's what I try to do.
Yeah, so that's actually kind of really right around the corner.
Yes.
I think we'll be finding soon, once we get the CONCACAF Champions Cup schedule, we'll be getting City SC's schedule.
Mm-hmm. And everyone can mark their calendar
for... And we'll find out when training camp opens, but right. I mean, I think we know pretty well, you know, it'll be the January 8th, I believe, is that first full week.
So barring any other big news, I think we may not talk to people again for a couple of weeks.
Depending what you consider big news.
Well, I mean, if there's an international signing, maybe we'll pop back in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the college draft is next Wednesday,
right.
Super draft. But City has traded away its first-round pick. It has the 21st pick in the second round, so it's got the 50th pick overall. Not a spot where I would think you're going to get somebody that's going to make a significant impact.
You're going to write a brief on that, not a full article, I think is what I'm hearing.
I mean, they got John Klein with the 30th pick, the
right.
first pick of the second round last year. And you know, he spent the season with City 2 and got in a couple games with City 1.
And O'Malley, meanwhile, is gone already.
And O'Malley is... we'll see today, coming up, actually starting right now, as we record this, the re-entry draft has begun, where City has the 21st pick in that. I think last year in the re-entry draft, 3 players overall were chosen, but these are players that are out of contract but are not yet eligible to be free agents.
Okay.
You can't be a free agent, I think, until you're 24.
Again,
and so,
with these rules.
Yes. and so that's, so there's a small number. Though I should say this, I mean, Anthony Mrkonic, I think, if, you know, would have been a guy in the reentry draft if Colorado had not picked up his option. So he would have been in this draft. So there could be someone like that lurking out there. One never knows.
You never know who Luke Papasteel might be eyeing.
Yeah, has his eye on. But that's, so those are the two things coming up. Free agency has begun. I would expect a signing. The transfer window hasn't opened yet. I don't know if I've seen exact dates on that, but it's generally this beginning of January into, you know, into sometime in March. It's a big window.
Yeah.
For players coming in.
All right.
So. I think that's it. I'm checking my phone to make sure nothing else.
We can't have. Are we going to have breaking news right here in the podcast? No.
No.
Okay.
No. Right. Not. That was. It was soccer related, but not breaking news that anyone needs to know. It's someone I have to. Yeah. Anyway, but on that note, so since we might not be back until after Christmas.
We'll have to, I would guess not, yes.
Yes, that would be your guess.
Yes.
But for everybody, thank you. Merry Christmas to all. And I'd say to all a good night, but it may well be the afternoon when you're listening to this.
And I hope that...
Though it gets dark very early, so
it gets dark so early. And for those who don't celebrate Christmas, happy winter.
Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa or whatever your or Happy Holidays, whatever, and a Happy New Year. I think we'd be back before?
Probably.
But it's hard to say. You never know. Schedules are, you know, we're traveling.
Odd things.
Odd things, yes. And we're odd people. So we fit yes. perfectly for the part. But in any case, and a heartfelt thank
yes.
from me and Beth and if Carter, who was here at the start, was still here, he would say the same, I'm sure. Thank you very much for spending, you know, the hour. It may seem like much longer on many days with us. But thank you so much for letting us, welcoming us into your, wherever it is, into your car, into your morning jog, wherever it is, and for listening to this. And we hope that it's been informative and instructive, and I'd be reaching if I said I thought it was, you know, humorous. But
hopefully entertaining.
Hopefully entertaining. And you know, just to have this out here and to be able to listen to two people talk about what's going on with the St. Louis City SC. So
on that note,
until whenever the next time is, be seeing you.
So, but I do have to ask you about Berube.
Okay.